I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy to have you join us, just to thank the Lord for every one of you. Thank you for opening your doors. And just to think that we are worshiping with people all over the world, and it's the family of God gathered together worshiping the Lord. Now today, I'm changing things a little bit, and we're going to celebrate Father's Day today. Now, next Sunday's Father's Day. But next Sunday, I want to preach a sermon on my 94th birthday, And so today, we're going to have a message just for the dads. And I think that's a good thing because it'll give you a week to get ready, and you'll be sure to get him a nice card and do something nice for him for a change and make him happy and make him feel that he is important, because I tell you, if you don't have a dad in your home, you miss a lot. And we have a lot of homes like that. So if dad is with you, you just pray for him and love him and stand by him. And the psalmist says something like that too. He says in Psalm 37, verses 23 to 25, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore." So, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the steps of a good man. And we do thank you for Christian men who love you and who serve you. And we just pray that this service today be an encouragement to them and help them to see that they are important, and that you can work through them and do great and wonderful things for the Lord, and can mold lives and help lives. And so this is your service, Lord, and just use it to bless and help all of us. For we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. And Jan has a song. I love this song, and you will too. "A Child of the King." God bless you, Jan.
I'm a child of the King, a child.
Thank you, Jan. That's just beautiful, and it brings back so many memories when we were in Sunday school and we sang those beautiful hymns. So I really appreciate Jan and her ministry. Well, we have some letters, and we are always thankful for the letters. We get so many, and we just want to thank you, and it just encourages us and helps us along the way. And by the way, if you want to locate our scripture lesson, it's Job chapter 1. And we're reading about this because we're having our Father's Day sermon today. And Job was a man. He was a father and had a lot of trials. But he was we'll talk about him in just a few minutes. Just don't hang up. Just stay with us and we'll get there eventually. But our letters today, first of all, we hear from Cape Canaveral, Florida. Thanks again for your wonderful worship hour. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Your wonderful words keep me going through the week. You put it all in perspective for me and make me thankful for all my dear God has done for me, and I am extremely thankful for people like you. May God continue to bless you and all those wonderful souls who help you so very much in your ministry. And I'm glad that you mentioned here the people that help us in our ministry. We have so many. We have 5 ladies in our office, staff members that work all week long and help us. And now we have about 5 gentlemen here helping us with our equipment and keeping that going. We have our musicians. And so we do have a lot of people that stand by and help us in this ministry. And so when you mention them and think of them, I think that's very well thought of. And we need to be more grateful for these people behind the scenes. Everybody sees me. Probably sees too much of me, but those that aren't seen are just as important, really more important, because any of them could preach, but I couldn't run that equipment for the life of me. So here there are some more letters we just want to go on. Mason City, Iowa. I look forward to hearing your program each Sunday morning in Peoria, Illinois station. My mother, 100 years old, and sister listen to you. They live in Montrose, Colorado. What a wonderful blessing the program is to them also. And so we surely want to congratulate this mother in Montrose, Colorado, 100 years old. My mother was 99 years and 5 months. And oh, a dear Christian lady. And here she is 100. That is just wonderful. And here I am now. Next Sunday I'm going to preach a sermon on being 94 years old. Well, and here she is 100, and it just puts me to shame. I don't know what I'm talking about. But praise the Lord, we'll carry on. Here's Nebraska. Thank you for keeping the faith and teaching God's word. I use your materials at our Christian Men's Thursday morning gathering. Our group is Men Alive for Christ. And so they're talking about the material we have. It is called A New Song, A New Song. It's a Bible study for every month, Bible study every month. And many times they use it they're using for a men's Bible study. I know they use it in retirement homes. I know they use it for Sunday school classes. I know that prisoners share it and sometimes gather together, 2 or 3, and we'll go through the Bible study. And so if you want to get the new song, I'll give you the address in just a minute. Just stay with us. And we're just glad that it can be of some use to people and help them in their Christian life. Here's Minot, North Dakota. I'm so thankful for your ministry. What a blessing to shut-ins. It is the old-time gospel I was brought up on, praying that God will give you strength to carry on for many more years to come. And so Minot is a good country. I held meetings in there up there one time. It's a beautiful country. And we're just thankful for those who write to us. And it is the old-time gospel. It's the Word of God. And the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like Jesus. And it'll never change, and it'll always be fulfilled just exactly the way God puts it. And so we're glad to proclaim the Word and preach the Word. Here's Gainesville, Florida. I am enclosing a check in honor of my late husband. For the last year of his life, he was unable to attend church, and the Christian worship hour was his church. Thank you, and God bless you. And you know, when we do our music and our sermons and everything, we always have it in mind of people that can't get out, the shut-ins, and especially up in north here in the wintertime, is hard for them to get out all winter. And then some aren't able to get around any time, and they're bedridden or in their wheelchair. And so we always think about you, dear folks, and we have something to encourage you and strengthen you and to help you to know the dear Lord Jesus loves you, and he knows why you're in a wheelchair or in a bed. He knows all about it. He understands. And people, they can't feel the way you feel, but Jesus can. And so you just lean on Jesus. And someday when we get to heaven, we'll find out that it is true that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. That's in Romans 8, verse 28. And right now it doesn't make sense. But when we get to heaven, we'll see God had a plan. It was a perfect plan. Somebody's put it like this. It's like one of these beautiful carpets, a rug, a throw rug. And on the bottom side of that throw rug, the threads go every way. There's no rhyme or reason to it at all. But when you look at the top side, there's a beautiful pattern, a beautiful picture of rug or a flower or something like that. And so that's the way the Christian's life is. We're on the bottom side now, and we just see all the things going every which way. But they're all by the hand of God. He's the weaver. And he's weaving this beautiful pattern. And we can't see it until we get to heaven. And when we get to heaven, we'll say, oh, now I understand. Somebody said, that's what everybody's going to be saying. Well, now I understand. And you'll see that God did it right. So take heart. Take heart. The Lord's with you. He loves you. He'll help you. Smile. Witness to the people. You're there for a reason. Pray for us. God still needs you. That's why you're there. Here's Poughkeepsie, New York. I thank you for your television ministry on Saturday morning. It's the best food for my soul can ever be fed. God bless you. I'll send a gift whenever I'm able to. And so here's somebody that you maybe can't send a gift, but you can pray. And there are people that have money that could send gifts, so just pray. Just pray the Holy Spirit will talk to them and loosen them up and the way will go. But it's all in the Lord's hands. And you know, I have a firm conviction of this. If God calls us to do this, if this is his ministry, if this is his will, he'll pay the way. He'll pay the bills. If it isn't his will, if we're out of his will and we're doing something on our own, we'll fall on our flat on our face. And I might add, the sooner the better. Because if God isn't in it, we're wasting our time, see? And so it'll come one way or another if God wants us to continue. All right, here's Owatonna, Minnesota. My mother, age 95, recently went to be with Jesus. When her health kept her from going to church, she watched you on television. I got in on some of those services. I'm thankful for the godly truth and encouragement you provided for her. And that's exactly what she wants. She wants to know, what does God have to say? You know, I think that the whole world wants to know, what does God have to say? Is there any word from God? Where are we in this thing? And so here's a dear soul could be helped. And one more I have here is Marshalltown, Iowa. Listen to this. I'm wanting to tell you my mother passed away March the 9th. She was 103 years, born in 1911. And listen to what he says. She accepted Jesus into her heart when she was 7 years old. Now, I just have to say this. I have people say that, oh, they can't accept Jesus till they're the age of accountability. We don't know what that is, 12 years, 13 years, 14 years. Some people will be many more years. And so they can't do that as a child. And then every time it rankles me when I hear that, because I accepted the Lord when I was 10, and I was dumb for my age. And I accepted the Lord when I was 10. And here's a lady, 7 years old, lived to be 103 and never forgot it. What happened when she was 7? And I know two women that support us and write to us. They're in their 80s. They both accepted Jesus when they were 5 years old. One lives in Washington State and one lives in Colorado. We heard from both of them. so anyone can, the children can accept the Lord if they want to. And Jesus loves the little children. And so that's why we preach. Preach so they can understand. And the Word of God is such a way the Holy Spirit applies it to the children. And I remember when I accepted the Lord, I remember what He preached about. He preached about Isaiah's vision of God, and it talked about the Lord, about God, and His train covered the whole temple. And the only train I knew was ran on tracks. I didn't know it was a gown. I didn't know it until I guess maybe when I got married and my wife had a gown. It was a train. I don't know. But I didn't know what a train was. But I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew I needed Jesus. So you see, the children can understand, and you can talk to you're blue in the face. You'll never convince me I didn't find Jesus when I was 10. Well, we want to thank you for the letters. We hope that more of you will write. You can write to us. We're the Christian Worship Hour, and our box is 2002. We're way up in Aberdeen, South Dakota, and it's 57402. And if you want to get us, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And on there, if you want to, we have what we call PayPal. And that goes all over the world. And so we get letters from Philippines and Norway and a couple other places. And you just get the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You look where it says donate. You punch that thing. And then it'll take you to PayPal. And that means that if you give us some gifts, we'll be your pal. And if you don't give us some gifts, we'll still be your pal. And but you, because you can pray for us. And so you can send a gift that way. And then always remember this. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization, and they check our books, and they audit our books, and they see how we spend our money, and if we follow up on what we preach, and they watch us, and we're clean as a hound's tooth, and we're proud to be a member of that organization. So if you want to find anything about us, you just look up Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And then one other thing I want to mention is our little devotional, The New Song. And we have a different Bible study every month for the month of June now. It's going to be on what must I not do to be saved. Now, that's a little different twist. What must I not do to be saved? And so you write to us and just say you want the new song. Or just put song. We'll know what it means. And we'll be glad to send it to you. We also have our sermon titles. We have the text there. We have a devotional every Monday. I mean, it runs 24 hours a day, a new devotional every Monday. And a lot of good things. And excerpts from letters. You'll love to see them. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray. And then Jan will play. And then you give. Just ask the Lord what He wants you to do. He'll tell you if He wants you to give, and He'll tell you how much. And we'll just be happy with whatever the Lord says. So, Heavenly Father, have Your way in the matter of giving. You know our needs, and You know Your people, and You know how to match it up. So we give it all to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Job chapter 1 and the first 12 verses. And our message is going to be about this man, Job. Beginning with verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every day, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered thy servant, my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch in all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this story of this godly man, Job. And we just want to pray that you'll help us to draw strength from it. And we pray for all of the Christian fathers especially, Lord. And we know that their role in life is not easy. Not only are they breadwinners, but they also are charged to help in the spiritual life of their children. And so we just pray that you'll bless every Christian father and encourage them and help them know that you're using them in a great and a wonderful way. And the eyes of their children, they are great and they do affect their lives. So bless them and watch over them. And then, dear Lord, we pray for those fathers who don't know you, that don't have a personal relationship with you, and they have children, and, oh, Lord, help them to see their need for you. And in this service, help them to see that you love them and you want to help them. You want to encourage them and guide their steps aright and help them to open their heart to Jesus. And in this service, may there be many fathers will pray the prayer of the penitent, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake." And you told us, "Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." May in our service today, many be saved. And then, Lord, we think of those Christians suffering in a far-off country today. We think of the country of Turkey. And we know that there are many being persecuted there, dear Lord. And our hearts go out to them. Not so much for those who die because they're in the presence of the Lord. And as St. Paul said, to die is gain. To be with the Lord is gain. But the families left behind, the wives, the mothers, the little children. Oh, God, I know you'll put your protecting hand upon them. And I know that there's going to be a time when you're going to put an end to this thing. And we just feel, Lord, the sooner the better. And yet you know when. And you surely wouldn't suggest any timetable for you, Lord. We just hope that you'll come as soon as you can. But we want your will to be done. So bless these families and help us to think of them and often pray for them. Now bless us in our service today that we'll honor Jesus in all we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Melissa has a song, Hymns from Way Back Home. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
I often go in memory to place that means the world to me, where I first heard them singing, Home, Sweet Home. I still recall the melody to the Rock of Ages cleft for me. How I'd love to hear the hymns from way back home. I miss Amazing Grace and love's old story. The sweetest sound my heart has ever known. I miss Daddy sitting in that old rocking chair. Yes, and Mama's voice so sweet and clear. How I'd love to hear the hymns from way back home. I long to hear the choir sing in the tiny church down the dusty lane. It would thrill me just to hear the organ play. It was voices in one accord singing praises to the Lord. How I'd love to hear the hymns from way back home. Oh, I miss Amazing Grace and love's old story. The sweetest sound my heart has ever known. I miss Daddy sitting in that old rocking chair. Yes, and Mama's voice so sweet and clear. How I'd love to hear the hymns from way back home. Yes, how I'd love to hear the hymns from way back home.
Well, thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And we all do have memories of mothers and dads, especially if they're Christians. And how we used to sing a lot in our home. We had a piano, mother played it, and the family all gathered around. We'd sing those hymns and have a lot of wonderful memories. Well, we want to talk about a man today because we're observing Father's Day. And next Sunday, of course, is a special day, so this will give you time to get ready for something for your dad. Really encourage him and help him along the way. And so we're going to look about a godly man, a very godly man. And took place long, long time ago. Just how long ago, we don't know. And it really doesn't matter how long ago it's been because the lessons he left us are eternal, so it doesn't matter when it happened. A man's name is given to us in the first verse, in the first chapter of the book named after him. And it says, there was a man in the land of Uz, U-Z, man of the land of Uz, whose name was Job, J-O-B. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And so at least we know his name. And we know that he was, he either came from or he lived in a place called Uz. And there's one other place in the book of Genesis where it talks about Uz. But we don't know if it's the same city, the same territory, or just what. We really don't care about the place either, because what we're really interested in this story is the man. We're interested in Job. The man is described to us in Scripture. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And so he was perfect and he was upright. And now we don't want to let that word perfect mislead us. Because perfect in English means that one thing. In Hebrew, it means something else. In Hebrew, it doesn't mean that a man was sinless, but it meant that when it says he was perfect, doesn't mean he was sinless. It means that he was complete, that he was a complete, perfect man. He was a complete man. He was an all-around man, a good man, in the best sense of the word. Nowadays, in the olden days, you say he's an all-around man, meant that he was a rounded man. He was a good man in every way. Well, now you talk about an all-around man, and he can be some kind of a skunk, and he can just live like the devil. And so we don't mean that at all. We call him an all-around man or a rounder. And we're surely not talking about Job as being a rounder. It simply means that he was upright. He was perfect and upright. And then another word that isn't really used much now, and that is we could say he was straight. Well, now you talk about somebody being straight, and it means that he's an oddball. It's not a compliment at all. But in Job's day, it meant that he was an all-around excellent man, that he was so good that in every way he excelled, and people respected him and loved him. And so you couldn't pay a higher compliment to a man than to say he was straight. And Job was a man who was straight. It means there was nothing his neighbors could bring against him. There wasn't any of the people that could level against him as being dishonest in any way. But he was complete, and he was straight, and he was a man whose relationship with God was beyond reproach. And so Job is right with God too. He's right with men, and he's right with God. And the reason he's right with men is because he's right with God. And when you have somebody that's causing a lot of trouble, you know he isn't right with God. And maybe in the family, and maybe in a marriage, and there's some problems. Well, one of them, or maybe both of them, are not right with God. Because when you get right with God, you'll be somebody that will be a blessing and a help. And walk with the Lord, and will be an honor to God's name, and be a blessing to society. Now, we're told here that he was one that feared God. Now, when you talk about he's one that feared God, that means that you see his theology. You see what you call his religion, his faith. And there was a place of and you see his place and object of worship. And that was his whole center was on God, and he feared God. And the second thing, he eschewed evil. And there you have his morals, because every good man has his morals, and every evil man doesn't have his morals, and so we call it immoral. And so when you find a man who loves the Lord and serves the Lord, he's morally upright. When you find somebody who doesn't fear God and has no fear of God and doesn't care what God thinks and lives that kind of life, he's an immoral person. That means he has no morals, he has no ideals, he has no goals, he has no principles, and he's something that you want to keep away from. So there are the two. When you put them together, you have the perfect man. He feared God and he hated evil. And the reason he hated evil is because he feared God. And the reason they fear no evil today is because they don't fear God. And they want to get God out of the picture. And they're trying to erase God. Take it, for instance, in our America. They want to get God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They want to get God off of the coin. They don't want any sign of God. And that means they want to be lawless. And it tells you something about the people. It tells you something about the morals, and it tells you something about our society. It talks about our culture, and our culture is going downhill. I've seen it in my lifetime. And so Jesus talks about him, and he says, he talks about a little bit later, and God says, if you must fear God, and you must hate evil. And then God ties it all up when he says, in his very first law that he gave us. And he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt fear God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And he says, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So you can't be evil to your neighbor if you love your neighbor as yourself. So here it is. That's his theology. So Job has his morals, and because he has his religion. And they're always, our morals are always associated with our relationship with God. And so the man that is immoral doesn't have any relationship with God. And that's the way he lives that way. But if you fear God, he's a different kind of a person. It doesn't, if he doesn't fear God, he won't fear man. He won't respect people. He won't respect the laws. He doesn't fear God, he won't have morals. He just mark it down. That person who is respected by his neighbors, that person who is an all-around man, that man who is a person who is a straight man, he's a man that feared God, fears God, and loves God. So the scripture says this, Job feared God. Because he feared God, he eschewed evil. That is, he turned down evil. The New International Version has it, he shunned evil. Berkeley Version has it, he turned away from evil. The Living Bible says he stayed away from evil. The English Bible says he set his face against wrongdoing. He eschewed evil. He turned down evil is what it means. And Job had an upward look to God, and so consequently he refused to do evil. He turned down what was evil and sinful. And so that's the estimate of Job. God gives it. He was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now the remarkable thing about this is that he was also what God's estimate of the man was. We see how the neighbors looked at him. That was somebody fearing God and all that. But how did God look at him? And God says to Satan, gives his estimate of Job. And he says, Job, he is a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then God tells us something else remarkable and about this man Job, and you can't hardly believe it. But he says, God says, there's none like him in all the earth. He's the best in all the earth. He's the best that is alive. That is, he's the most righteous. He's the most God-fearing man on the face of the earth at that time. Maybe at all time, except Jesus. And so what we're saying is he's a remarkable man. And so don't forget the appraisal of God from man and from God. He just passed the test. He was just perfect. He was upright and loved and cared for. But both men and God declare that Job is a man of highest integrity. He is upright. His uprightness just shines. He's very close to God with his relationship, and he despises evil. Don't forget that. And because we are dealing with some reprobate, you see, if we're dealing with Paul, for by his own admission, he says he's the chief of sinners. Paul said he was chief of sinners. If we're dealing with somebody like Peter, who denied Lord and swore up and down he didn't even know Jesus Christ. If we're dealing with ourselves, who failed the Lord Jesus 1,000 times over, well, then the story might not be so mysterious. But there's a mysterious thing that's happening here. We're dealing with a man who stands above all the men of his day, and that's man's viewpoint of him, and the better yet, it's God's viewpoint. And so that God can say there is none like him on earth. And so this is he's just perfect as perfect can be. And so then something's going to happen that doesn't make sense. Because since he is so good and he is so righteous, you would think he'd always have the best of health and everything would prosper. If he served God and was just perfect toward God, nothing could happen to him. He'd be hedged about. And he was hedged about to a certain point until the testing came. And so we see this man, he comes to some awful tests. And there's something else about him that we should mention as we go along. He was a good father. He was a God-fearing man because he cared for the souls of his children. You see, he was concerned about their relationship with God, not only himself, but his children. And this, fathers, this is it. What are you as a spiritual leader in your home? And that's what Job was. And it's easy to care for the bodily needs of our children and forget the spiritual needs. And there are ever so many homes where dad supplies everything for them materially, but nothing spiritually. And Job is just the opposite. He is so careful about his children, and he thinks about them, and he thinks about, he thinks about how their soul is, and he wants to be sure they're right with God and that their soul was right with God. He could see, the children could see that the Father cared for the spiritual things. I was just thinking as I worked on this sermon, I saw Jesus when I was about 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old. I saw Jesus in my mother. Well, these people saw Jesus in Job. Although Jesus wasn't here, they saw God in Job. And I see that in some men that I work with. You can see Jesus in them because they fear God and they care for the welfare of their children. And you can't do that unless you have Christ. And I'm going to come to that in a minute. And I hope that you, if you don't know the Lord, Dad, you can't give him something you don't have. And if you want to give a spiritual part of it, you have to have spiritual life within you. But let me say before we get that, here's what Job did for the spiritual welfare of his children. He had 7 sons and he had 3 daughters. And we read in the 5th verse, it was when the days of their feasting were finished that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning, and he burnt the burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This did Job continually. Now this could be paraphrased and you could read it like this. Every year when each of Job's sons had a birthday, he invited, it talks about his day, that's what it means, his birthday. Every year when each of Job's sons had a birthday, he invited his brothers and sisters to his home for a celebration. On these occasions, they'd eat and drink with great merriment. When these birthday parties ended, and sometimes they lasted several days, Job would summon his children to him and sanctify them. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and turned away from God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. And so Job continued concerned about the welfare of his children. He taught them to fear God and to love God and to respect God and the neighbor. But here now, he doesn't know how they've been behaving. He doesn't know what they've said and what they've done. And so he is giving sacrifices for the souls and the spiritual welfare of their children. And that's the way we need to live, fathers. We all need to live that way. And the old grandfathers and the grandmothers and the great-grandparents as well. We have a spiritual part in the life of those children and those grandchildren and those great-grandchildren. And God help us if we know the Lord and we don't have a part in their welfare and their caring. And we need to pray for them constantly, pray for them daily. And so we must indeed point out the goodness and the love of God to them when we have a chance and we can do it. We ought to show them every time we can about the might of God and the power of God and the greatness of God. And I had a man just in this last week, and his grandmother has been gone for years. And he said, I remember one time I stayed in my grandmother's home, and it was Saturday before Easter. And I was in my little bed and she ran, got and woke me up early in the morning. And she says, come quickly. And he says, I got to get my clothes on. She says, no, come as you are. And she took him out to the back porch and she showed him a sunrise, beautiful sunrise. And that's when Jesus rose from the dead. Here this man now is 60 years old or more. And he remembers when grandma took him out on the back porch, half naked, to see a sunrise. And when impressing upon the greatness of God and the power of God and the glory of God. And so we have to, in every way, we have what we say and how we live and how we treat others and in our attributes, teach them about the things of God. Remember what God told the fathers in Moses' day? He said, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk to them when they sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise out, up. You talk about the Lord Jesus. You talk about the love of Jesus. You show them the power of Jesus and how to live and even how to die, because that's going to be in their agenda someday. And so that's the way we need to live. co-watching with the Lord, walking with the Lord. Let us give them the needs of this life, the food and the shelter and the clothing and the education and all of the rest. But also let's give them a knowledge of Jesus. And let's give them the Word of God. And let's give them how to teach. And let's give them how to pray. And teach them how to win a game and how to lose a game. And teach them about a personal faith in Jesus Christ. Teach them the spiritual part, and to that, when death comes, be it early in life or late in life, they're ready to die. There's a little poem that goes, "You taught me how to dance, and you taught me how to do this, and you taught me how to cook, and you taught me how to everything, but now I'm dying, and you never taught me how to die. And how can I die without Jesus?" And so we need to do these things. And so how we teach them how we to trust what it is to trust God. Teach them how it is to pray and what it is to pray. Show them the beauty of a flower or the beauty of a bird that flies. Or show them the beauty of God when a flock of birds fly and they're swirling around, but they never hit each other. They all of this, how do they do that? I have a beautiful office, and I sit in that window and I see those birds flying, flocks of birds. And they're going through the air just as fast as they can go, but they never bump each other and they never knock each other down. It's just beautiful handiwork of God. Tell those children of that. How do they do those things? Why don't the clouds tip over? God keeps them straight, see? And that's what Job was. And Swindoll makes a list of some of the characteristics that we ought to do to help the children in their life. He says, teach them determination, to stick with it regardless of what it is. You stay with it. And I know my mother. My mother, she'd say, if you start something, you finish it. And if you start a project, you finish a project. And so, you know, don't be a quitter. Be honest. Speak and live the truth always, Swindoll says. Teach them responsibility. Be dependable. Be trustworthy. Teach them thoughtfulness. Think of others before yourself. And teach them confidentiality. Don't tell secrets. Seal your lips. And if you are entrusted with something, you stay by it and don't blab it around. See? That's easier for some than others, but it ought to be taught. Punctuality, be on time. Well, some people come late to all the time. I heard a preacher one time, he's out on the farm, preaching out in a farm, in a community, and he says, "You're like the cow's tail, you always come in last." And I wouldn't dare say that, because the three people I preach to, I'd lose all three of them probably. And so, but be punctual. When you come late, you steal other people's time, my mother. You're stealing their time. You don't have a right to do that. It says self-control. And so be, you know, under stress, stay calm. Trust in the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Don't get shook. Patience. Fight irritability. Be willing to wait. Don't have to have something the minute you want it. Purity. Reject anything that lowers your standards. And travel the high road. Have the highway. Keep it there. Compassion. When another person hurts, hurt with him. Feel for him. Be a part of him. Try to empathize with them. And pray. What does it say? Laugh with those that rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those who weep. It says, diligent. Work hard. Tough it out. Don't give up. So pass these things on to our children, how to live day by day and how to die. May God in His wonderful grace help us all to be good fathers, good grandfathers, good great-grandfathers, good friends and loved ones. And as I told you, I thought of the day when the first time I really saw Jesus in a person was in my mother. I didn't see that in my dad. My dad wasn't a Christian. He was a good man. He was a kind man. I saw a lot of good in him, but how could he portray Christ if he didn't have him? You have to have Christ in your life. And maybe you're here today, and you're listening into this service, and you're wondering about your soul. And you know, as I wrote this sermon, worked on this sermon, I thought, I wonder if there won't be some fathers, some father, and he's waiting for his first child to be born. And he's going to be born in about a month. And this dad wants it. Boy, he's going to be the best dad in the world. And he's got the room all fixed up and his wife and all. And he's probably got a savings account for the little guy. And he is so excited. But he doesn't know Jesus. And he can't be a good father without Jesus. He really can't. He can be good, but he can't be all that he should be. And he needs to have Jesus. And maybe there's some father somewhere. I just wonder. And you could pray right now. And you could say, Jesus, I want to be a good dad. And I just ask you to come into my life. And then just take away my sins. And then just give yourself to the Lord and just promise to serve the Lord the best you can. If you got some bad habits, get rid of them. And start reading that Bible and get into a church where you get some help. And when that little fella comes, the little girl comes, you'll be ready there to help them spiritually. And you know something? All the things you do for them materially will end in 70 years more or less. But what you do for them spiritually will never, ever, ever end. And so you need Jesus. You can't do it alone. I read about a mother. And she was, they gave her the baby, and they gave her how to bathe the baby and how to feed the baby and how to change the baby and all that. Gave him a book for this and this and this. And the mother says, well, how will I teach him how to live and die? And they give him the Bible. And you've got to have that Bible. You've got a book for everything else. And so ask the Lord to come into your heart. And the scriptures tell us, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, as many as received him. And so just ask Jesus to come into your life. It tells us in Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come in. You say, well, what if I open the door and he won't come in? What if he just stands and looks at me? He says, I want to come in. That's why I am knocking, Dodo. That's why I want to come into your heart. And he's knocking at your heart's door, and you open the door and you say, come in. It isn't hard. You do it with your neighbors all the time. They knock on the door. You open the door and say, come in. I have a neighbor visits me every once in a while. Rings the doorbell. First time in my life I got a doorbell that works. I'm so proud of it. And he rings the doorbell, open the door, and he comes in. And that's what you do with Jesus. You say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart and take away my sin and wash away my sins with the blood of the Lamb. And he will save you. And then you promise to follow him and serve him. And you'll be surprised that God will help you. Oh, I tell you, I just hope and pray that you'll bow your head and ask the Savior to come in and walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord. And you won't know all the answers. And maybe he'll ask you some questions you can't answer. I had a Sunday school teacher that taught us the wrong thing when I was a child. We lived out in the country, and this teacher taught us on the resurrection. He says they dug a hole, and they buried Jesus down in that ground. And at his first Easter morning, he came right out of that ground. Well, I thought that was just wonderful, you know. But then I found out later they didn't bury him in the ground. They never did. They buried him in the side of a rock, a hewn-out rock. Well, so I got bad information, so I got the right information. And so that's all right. That doesn't matter. Do the best you can. If you're off base, the Lord will guide you. The Lord will direct you and help you. So I'm praying that you'll come to the Lord. And there may be some old grandpas today. You need Jesus. Not many old grandpas come. We get in. I'm an old grandpa. I'm an old great-grandpa. And it's hard for me to change. I don't even like to change what I use on my hair. I got some aftershave. Don't even want to change that. See, you get set. But you need to change this, and you need to come to Jesus. Wouldn't that be something some of you grandpas would write and say, we ask Jesus to come into our heart. And I'll send you some literature, and boy, I'll rejoice with you. The old can be saved if they want to. So you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to get us, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you've accepted the Lord or you want to accept the Lord, you write to us. We'll send you some literature. And you pray for us and we'll pray for you. And just draw close to the Lord. And you fathers, we love you. We pray for you. You are important. You're all important in the life of that family. And God bless you. And we're going to pray for the dads right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Christian fathers. Help them never to get discouraged and never give up. And those who don't know you, help them to become Christian fathers right now, right this minute. And the grandpas. And wouldn't it be something if some old great-grandpa would accept Jesus and write in? Now, wouldn't that be something to read? And believe me, we'd read it. So, dear Lord, just talk to the hearts of these people. Bring them to yourself. And to those on sick beds and those who are shut-ins, help them to know that you're there. You'll love them, will bless them, and help them. Thank you for Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. In His name, amen.